Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn and the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back with you once again today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times, motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as that utilize the information we provide today, take full accountability for the decisions you make. The resulting outcome. And one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work life. This is a special time in our workplace and world when having business principles has never been more important. And as such, we are honored today to have with us a very, very special guest. His name is Ken Gosnell. Ken is the Chief Executive Officer, abbreviated CEO, and servant leader of CEO Experience. His company serves Christian CEOs and leaders by helping them to hear the words, well done. He is a keynote speaker, executive coach, and strategic partner with CEOs and successful business leaders. His business concepts and ideas have been sought out by leaders literally around the world. And he writes articles with a focus on business, leadership, team, management, and CEOs. He's also an author. He has written the inspiring book, Well Done, 12 Biblical Business Principles for Leaders to Grow Their Business with Kingdom Impact. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Ken.
Thank you for having me, Greg. I'm honored to be here.
The honor is all ours. Kindly share with the listeners and me from what city you're speaking from this morning.
Today, I'm in Lakeland, Florida. I lived in the Washington, D.C. area for about 25 years. And a couple of years ago, we relocated down to outside of Tampa, Florida. So we live in Lakeland, Florida now.
Oh, you've just made this host and a lot of listeners very, very jealous. A beautiful part of the country, that's for sure. Sadly, Ken, we've only got 30 minutes. We could talk for hours about you, this amazing book. We're going to jump right into the deep end of the pool. This great book that you've written, what inspired you to write a book that focuses on biblical principles for business leaders?
Well, the short answer to that is because they work. I was a consultant for many years where I traveled around the world and was helping CEOs and business owners grow their businesses. And what I found was I had researched a lot of books, got my master's, got a double master's degree. So I got the educational component of it as well. And what I found was that the principles that really were essential to successful decision-making in business and in life came from the Bible, came out of our faith. And so the 12 principles that I talk about, I've written them in business language because I taught them to CEOs and business owners for years. I didn't always share that they came from the Bible initially because some people didn't necessarily, they weren't necessarily Christians or that wasn't what they hired me to do. And about 15 years ago, I launched CEO Experience when God called me or challenged me to say, hey, Ken, you're growing these businesses. And he showed me that passage that says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? I didn't feel like I was losing my soul, but the point of it was that I was helping them build a business, but we were missing the second part of that, which was the impacting God's kingdom or doing something for God's kingdom. And it really was on the prefaces of the words, well done. We know the story in the Bible about it's a business story about the leader that left and he had three business guys or three employees. And two of them did excellent work while he was gone. And the master comes back and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, every leader I ever met wants to hear the words, well done. And every Christian leader that I ever met, we want to hear the words, well done, not only in this world, but for all eternity. And so my challenge then became, well, if I see these principles work in business and help businesses grow, I know they will also work in businesses to help grow God's kingdom or have kingdom impact, which is far more significant than even taking our business and growing it from 100 million to 300 million or 300 million to 500 million or whatever the dollar signs the bank account. And that's important, don't get me wrong, but it's about how do I use these principles to make it work in every area of their life.
This is so fascinating to me. I had a 29-year career in big pharmaceuticals before becoming a Franciscan brother. But if I perceive correctly, you had a very successful consulting career with some very prestigious companies. And then you actually left to start your own gig. Our audience and I, we'd love to hear a little bit about the guest. Did you want to share a little bit about that? That must have taken a lot of courage, Kent.
Well, a little bit of courage and a lot of bit of persuading by God and my wife at the time. So, what part of the business idea is, you know, travel around the companies and organizations wherever they have a need. And my wife and I have four children, and she was pregnant with our fourth child. And she came to me one day and she said, hey, I think you're gone too much. And I think you need to stay closer to home. And I said, well, that's not really the business that we had, you know, that I had started. You know, companies don't necessarily come to me. I have to go to them. And so we started to really pray about this idea of, well, what is God asking us to do in this season of our, or specifically asking me to do? And during that period of time, we got this idea that I could work with Christian CEOs, primarily bringing them into peer retreats. We would produce a monthly executive guide, which is taking some of these principles and how to practically apply that to businesses. I would probably work with a lot smaller businesses, so anywhere from $500,000 a startup all the way up to, you know, a couple hundred million dollar business, more family owned, more privately owned, working with the business owners, but we could do it over a long period of time. And so the more I thought about that, the more and more convicted I became. And I pulled a couple people together and I said, hey, I'm really looking to gather some Christian CEOs in the Washington, D.C. area. And they said, well, how many are you looking to gather? And I said, well, I think if we got, you know, 30 to 50 CEOs and those were companies that we could just work together over a period of a long time, that'd probably be a good practice, good consulting practice. Wow. And they looked at me and said, we don't know if there's 30 to 50 Christian CEOs in Washington, D.C. And I said, I believe one of the principles that I talk about is believe and ask in the impossible. And the Bible says what man sees as impossible, God sees as possible. Yeah. And every good business owner, this is so powerful, right? Every business owner, a lot of times they'll do things that were thought impossible. Like who thought that hamburgers could be sold in a matter of seconds around the world?
Sure. Right?
Elon Musk is thinking about how do I get to Mars, right? So he's thinking about the impossible, and that's from a worldly business perspective. How much more as us as Christians should have a perspective when we serve the God who does everything or anything that he can do it. And so anyway, I wasn't asking for the impossible. I was just asking for about 50 Christian CEOs in Washington, D.C. But I was convicted by my own principle. You know what I'm saying? And sure enough, you know how God works. All of a sudden, even before I launched the company, I got a call from a Christian CEO. And he said, hey, Ken, I'm in. And I said, in what?
Wow.
And he said, I'm in whatever you're doing. He said, I just had a friend tell me that you're wanting to work with Christian CEOs. I said, you don't even know what I'm doing. We've never even met. You don't even know how much it costs. He said, Ken, it doesn't matter. He said, I've been praying for somebody like you for 25 years to show up. I'm in Washington, D.C. I'm in this industry that I've never met another Christian in it. He said, I've been asking for 25 years why I'm in this godforsaken industry, and why I'm running this godforsaken business. And he said, I've been praying for a Christian consultant, a Christian person that could bring other Christians together to help me to do that. Well, we found out, I'll tell you another story about him later on, maybe we have time, but I said, we found out later on that God put him in that godforsaken business because he wanted him to be God, be the God light in that godforsaken business, right?
Isn't that amazing?
And he's just had so many transformational stories over the last 15 years, just about not only how he's managed his business, but how he's also now impacted the kingdom of God and had some amazing God stories. So anyway, that's a little bit of my journey.
No, that is terrific and so inspiring for the listeners and me. Thank you again for being here with us today. I think I know the answer to this question. I'm going to ask it anyhow. What sets Well Done apart from literally the thousands of business books that are published every year?
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one is that I really try to intertwine faith and business. So it is a business book, but it's with the foundation of the biblical business principles. And I show in each of those chapters where those biblical principles come from. We go a step further. I believe one of the principles that we talk about is always take the second step. And so our book is both principle-based, it's got biblical content, but it's also very practically oriented. So a business person can pick up the book, or a leader, you don't have to be a CEO necessarily to apply the principles in this book. It's written for business owners, but they can take it out and immediately begin to apply these practices in their business and begin to improve their business immediately. And then we also provide an opportunity. There's a space in there where I believe in interaction and application. The Bible says, what good is it if we read the word and then go away and forget what it says? And so
exactly.
There's a little bit of a journal tint to the book. It's not completely a journal, but there is an opportunity for them to write in the book. There's some questions for them to answer. And then probably the best thing that I get probably more thank yous for anything else is if at the end notes. So the book is took me over to about 20 years altogether, reading probably close to 300 business books as I began
wow.
to put this together. So if you go to the bibliography in the back, or if you go to the footnotes that's throughout the book, I've had CEOs call me and say, hey, Ken, you've saved me a lifetime of reading because you've just encapsulated about 300 business books in your book, where I show other businesses and other business leaders and some pretty well-known books and also some other hidden ones that's probably not as known, but where they've applied these principles so that I not only say it works, the Bible not only says it works, but here's these other CEOs and business owners that say, hey, these principles have worked and they've been critical to our business growth.
That is so terrific. And later on, we'll let the listeners know where they can pick up this great book, certainly. Now, the title is Well Done. The subtitle, 12 Biblical Business Principles for Leaders to Grow Their Business with Kingdom Impact. Why is it important for business leaders to have a kingdom impact? Help us out here, please, Ken.
Well, it's really what I was talking about just a few minutes ago, the idea of significance. You know, you can build a great business, and I saw this happen. It was what really convicted me to make that change, is I saw people build great businesses, and I'm talking about multi-billion dollar businesses, putting them on the stock exchange, whatever it was.
Wow.
And yet they didn't find satisfaction. They didn't find contentment. They didn't find completeness. And so it left me at the place of saying, hey, this is not well done. Right. Even though we've done this great thing and we've done this, you know, wonderful, and it's been helpful to people. But yet if we miss the most important thing, which is doing something for God and for God's kingdom and finding our purpose in life, then we're really never going to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. And so what I challenge every business owner to think about is they should build their business, but they should do it with a purpose. Principle number three in the book is, find a profit, but do a profit with a purpose. And
wow.
So it's, you know, biblical, but our business related. But if you don't have that purpose behind who you are, and I think the best purpose is a eternal purpose, It's a kingdom purpose, right? That what matters, what means that if I save one person through my interaction in business, or if I make a difference in somebody's life and they come into a relationship with Jesus or with God, that all of a sudden for all eternity, then I'm going to reap the benefits of that. That's more than putting another dollar in my bank account. And so I don't think we talk about that enough in business today. So much has been driven about the economy and about finances. And those are things that are important and they're essential. But if you miss the most important thing, you know, our country was founded in and what I try to show in the book is the most successful organizations, even in our country, around the world, have been founded because they had these Christian principles at the core of who they were. And when you miss that, you've missed the whole point of why the significance that goes along with it.
Yeah, it's so interesting. A mentor of mine used to say that, and this was before I entered religious life, he would say the biggest challenges in business are not physical, but they are spiritual. And
That's
you
correct.
Have just grabbed that and taken this to a whole different level. Now, I know 12 is a very significant number from a biblical standpoint, but you developed 12 business principles or biblical principles that are outlined. How did you develop these 12, please, Ken?
So I started looking at all the leaders of the Bible. That's really where I started years ago, because I felt like this is timeless, right? The Bible's shown that it's been proven. Jesus started an organization that's now over 2,000 years old. Most businesses don't last past the first year. Most you go past that. Some businesses don't last past 5 years. And then the next iteration is usually businesses die with the business owner, so they die after 50 years. So I knew that the Bible had the truths that would really guide, be the principles that could guide any decision, every decision in life and in business. And so I did a thorough search throughout the Bible of every spiritual leader in the Bible, from Abraham to Moses to David, Daniel, on and on and on. And what I did was I looked at the principles that guided their decision making. And so I made a whole list of these principles, and I got up to about 40, 45 principles. And then I saw that there was some redundancy. They were similar types of principles, right? And then I looked into the Gospels, and I thought, well, if I could narrow them down, I have to have them at a place that's kind of where we can catch a hold of it and use it. And so when I began to look at and put them through the Gospel lens and the ministry of Jesus, what I found was that in the book of Matthew, there are 12 principles that kind of get elevated in the ministry of Jesus. And this makes sense. It kind of was an aha moment for me, because Matthew was the business guy.
That's right.
Matthew was the tax collector,
tax
right?
Collector.
So he understood kind of business. And so he really marches through these accounts. And so what I ended up doing is, they're reiterated all throughout the Bible. I actually have a Bible that I read over a period of years, where I've written each of the biblical principles out of different passages throughout the Bible. But in the book, primarily what we narrow it down to is four of them are what I call proclamations that Jesus made, four of the principles or statements that Jesus had. Things like go the second mile and let your yes be yes and your no be no, right? Those are statements that he made.
Yes.
Four of them are based on parables that Jesus told. So things like the parable of the good stewards, the servants, you know, the well done, good and faithful servant, right? The parable of the persistent widow, that she believed in asking the impossible, right? was an impossible situation. And then four of them are based on practices that Jesus himself instituted. So the last four talk about, you know, principle number 10 is to improve your team, to improve your organization, right? That Jesus was probably the only leader that ever led that could have done it all by himself. He didn't need anybody else to accomplish anything that he wanted to do. He had all supreme power, all supreme knowledge and all that.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
And yet he was, the very first act of his ministry was he went out and called his team to follow him. He called 12 disciples to come and help him.
Wow.
And so, you know, the importance of team and the importance. So I call them practices. So that's kind of the way that we divide up those principles. And then what I do is I write an executive guide each month, where we focus on one of those biblical principles, but then a business application of how that principle can apply to their business today.
Oh. That's terrific. Yeah.
So we just had a guide on what we called impartiality initiatives, and that's on improving your team and improving. It's about teamwork and human. It's really on the human resource side, but it's really our take on diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. How do we do that in our business? You know, God calls us to be impartial. And yet impartiality is a word that's not often talked about when it talks about diversity. And so, but you can have diversity without impartiality, but you can't have impartiality without diversity. And so anyway, that's just a practical application to help our businesses owners how to apply that principle into their business each month.
Maybe this is an unfair question. I'm going to ask it anyhow. Is there one surprising principle in your book that guides leaders to success of the 12? Is there one that's kind of surprising to you, or maybe surprising to the listeners and me?
There were several surprising principles. Probably one of my favorites is know your yeses and nos, right? So Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's a really strong statement that he makes. I think it's a really powerful lesson for business leaders, because most leaders, we like options. We say, well, hey, let us, you know, we'll wait, we'll make decisions, but, you know, let's keep all of our options open.
Sure. And
what Jesus points us to is clarity of conviction. And I say, when the leader knows their no's, then everything else becomes more clear. And when the leader is clear, everybody and everything in the organization becomes clear, right? Most of our businesses suffer today. Most of our leadership suffers because we have unclear leadership. We don't have leaders that are saying, here's where we're going. These are the convictions that I'm being led by. And we're going to make these decisions. Sometimes they're going to make sense. Sometimes they're not going to make sense, right? Because I'm going to do some things that I think is we need to take some risk on or some faith on.
Sure.
We need to have faith with. But man, when I get clear, all of a sudden I'm empowered. And I'm also convinced, you know, influential, that I bring others to me, that I don't have to rethink decisions over and over again. I can move to decisions quicker, faster, and better. And they usually are a better decision that I've been made. So that's been one that it's important in leadership, but it's probably surprising to see how quick leaders pick that up, and then how it begins to transform their organization because they begin to practice it.
I'm just thinking back to my big pharma days, and even in higher education, I was never a CEO or someone on that level. But as a follower, it was very helpful to have someone in leadership, he or she, who had that conviction and led with that, because you always knew where they stood and the direction they were going in.
That's absolutely correct. And, Greg, I say every leader is a CEO. I call them chief experience officers because, God gives us different experiences in our life, right? And we have influence over others through the experience that we have. And so just because you didn't necessarily have that title from the world, I think God gives you that title as part of the experience that he's working you through to figure out your where you're at today, your values, your gifts, your talents, your abilities, and your heart.
Wow, that's very empowering what you just shared with the listeners and me. Thank you. Now, this is very interesting. I'm going to ask you another question, because if I perceive correctly, you believe it's important for business leaders to tune into their inner drive rather than relying on the validation of others. To me, it's all about being validated by others. Help us out here, please, Ken.
Well, absolutely. So Ephesians 2:10 says that we're God's workmanship, and we've been created to do good works that God's prepared in advance. And that's back to what we were just talking about you being your own CEO, right? And what that means is that sometimes we're in different positions, and even CEOs, business leaders, you know, they'll sell their business, or God has multiple stories for them, the experiences for them to go through their life. They might start two or three businesses. They might work a business for 30 years. They might, you know, go be on a board someplace. So there's different things. So I say to them, stewardship teaches them to fulfill that calling that God has in their life, which is about significance. It's about fulfilling the call. It's not about just having a title or completing even a task, Right. That's what that parable about the, you know, the three servants, I think they were probably doing something before the master left, right? They were busy. That's how he was able to identify, hey, I'll give five to one, I'll give two to one, and I'll give one to one. And I don't even know that the guy that had five meant that he was so much better than the guy that had one. Maybe the guy that had one had the most critical job prior to him giving that one task. And the master said, hey, I want you to still do the one job that I have, but I'm going to give you this one talent to steward as well, right? We don't know that part of the story. All I know is each of them were valuable. All five of them were valuable. But what made the two more valuable was they fulfilled the calling that they had in their life. The third one, what the master really gets on him about, isn't that he didn't make money. It wasn't even that he didn't try, you know, didn't do a good job. It was that he wasted his opportunity. He ignored what the master had communicated to him to do. And so that's where I tell leaders, I say, hey, it's about significance more than anything else. You're God's workmanship. God has designed you. He's created you. He's given you gifts, talents, abilities, and he's going to bring experiences because he wants you to do something with that. That's that second part of that passage, to do good works that he's brought to you. And whatever it is that you're doing right now, if you sell your business and you go flip burgers at McDonald's or whatever it is that you're doing, there's a purpose that God has you there. Like he's preparing you for something else. He's putting in you a different skill and a different ability. And he's doing something. He's not finished. Just because your business is finished doesn't mean he's finished with you.
Wow.
That's the Joseph story, right? That Joseph was in these different situations in his life. So God had done all those. And the best part of that passage is, at the end of verse 10, it says that he goes in advance. So that God has walked out in front of us in every one of those situations. And so it's not for me to always to try to conjure up something. It's really me to get on page with what God's trying to do in my world and then walk in that with confidence and belief that God has me here for a purpose and that he's going to continue to guide and direct me through this experience and then bring me my next experience.
Wow. Oh, that's absolutely amazing. Certainly. It's interesting because I've had people comment that during my 29 years in Big Pharma, God was walking with me in preparation for a life as a Franciscan Brother of Brooklyn. So it all makes
I
sense.
You're
really crystallizing things, Ken, for me and the listeners this morning. Thank you. We've only got 4 minutes, sorry to say. We could talk all day. I got two important questions still to ask you. This COVID-19 pandemic, did it at all affect the teachings in your book? If so, how?
Well, it reemphasized because the principles worked, right? Even in the pandemic. So we saw business grow during that time. The principles didn't change. How we applied the principles changed. Right.
Oh.
So we had to talk about remote work. We had to talk about crisis management. We had to talk about taking care of our employees, golden rule, practicing the golden rule with them. How do we go a step further? How do we care for our customers? How do we do things in a spiritual? There was all kinds of spiritual opportunities during COVID where we could have spiritual conversations that weren't available to us even before COVID. And so, yes, COVID was hard on businesses. It was difficult. But we found that the principles continued to work and our businesses flourished during COVID.
Wow, this is amazing. So you didn't feel the need to adjust the principles or go away from the principles. They seem to apply more than ever during this
Correct.
Crisis situation.
Correct.
That is absolutely amazing. We've saved the most important question for last, Ken. From where can our loyal listeners purchase Well Done? 12 Biblical Business Principles for Leaders to Grow Their Business with Kingdom Impact. How can they best follow you, please?
Sure. They can go to Amazon and get it. All they've got to do is look for the words Well Done, and the book will pop up. They can also search my name. We also do have a website, KenGosnellBooks.com, KenGosnellBooks.com. But it can be picked up at any, you can look at Barnes & Noble or any local bookstore will be able to order it as well if they don't have it in stock.
Terrific. Listeners, I want to give you Ken's spelling of his first and last name. Ken, of course, K-E-N, but Gosnell, G-O-S-N-E-L-L. We've had a great Franciscan listeners on with us today. He could have held on to the good. He didn't have to write this book. He did. He didn't have to come on Thank God for Monday. He did. He shared the good. Now it's your turn. Please get out there, buy one copy for yourself. This book makes a great gift. I highly recommend this for college graduates, even high school graduates, certainly. I know the commencements themselves are over. We've got a lot of class of 23 people starting jobs. This is a great book to read before someone gets into the workplace. Buy one for yourself, buy one or more for others. Share the good, just like Ken Gosnell did this morning. Ken, we can't thank you enough for coming on Thank God for Monday today. We've been enlightened. We have been very much inspired. In 17 years, we've never done a show like this. This has really, really been very inspiring. Continued success, joy, and happiness, and all of God's blessings to continue to be upon you and your lovely family.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it.
Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Ken does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.